Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Yeah, Zeus the Wonder Dog is a cheap date. All you got to do is give him some ice, and he'll crunch it. I heard the woodpecker about a half hour ago. I think he stopped now. The woodpecker, yeah, that is my spirit animal. People want to have tigers or wolves or lions as their spirit animals, but I think the woodpecker is mine. Like I said, because he smashes his face. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what gender or pronoun to use for a bird. But it smashes its face into wood repeatedly for sustenance. And if that's not a newspaper columnist, I don't know what is. So Zeus the Wonder Dog is here with me, crunching ice. The birds are out. Tom Bevan of Real Clear Politics is here, or will be here. And what are we going to talk about? Maybe those Hunter Biden racist emails. Imagine if the son of a Republican president said something like that. And of course, there's always Kamala Harris. I haven't been to Europe. Yes, Kamala. The interview by Lester Holt was okay. I mean, thank God it wasn't Brian Stelter. But the response from Kamala Harris, vice president, I haven't been to Europe. We're going to the border, but we're not going to the border. It was probably her responses were so shallow that all I'm thinking of is, dear God, please, President Biden, stay strong. Biden must be president until at least 2024, because, well, if Kamala Harris were to replace him, you know, she doesn't eat no for breakfast, or she eats no for breakfast every day, or whatever she came up with. Well, guess what? China's Xi Jinping would eat Kamala Harris for lunch every day. A president Kamala Harris. Yes, he would eat her for lunch and then pick his teeth of her and smile every day.
There's one other topic I wanted to talk to you about, but let me just quickly put a button.
Okay.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
I'm here in Guatemala today. At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
Well, I mentioned it because I know Republicans have certainly come at you on this, but Democratic Congressman Cuellar, as a border district, has said to you and the president, come. You need to see this.
Listen, I care about what's happening at the border. I'm in Guatemala because my focus is dealing with the root causes of migration.
And of course, old Uncle Joe is moving kind of slow at the junction. And he's going to see Vladimir Putin of Russia in a one-on-one. What could go wrong, right? Okay, Susie. If you like what you hear on the Chicago Way, you find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all the different platforms. You can just click on the link when I put it out on social media. But I'd really, really like you to subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, give us a good review. It's important. One more thing. Perhaps you've heard about the changes at the Chicago Tribune, or reported changes. There's a lot of things going on. I haven't yet decided what to do. I know this, that the editors and reporters, journalists at the Chicago Tribune are doing their best to give you the news of the day, accurate reporting, penetrating analysis, great editorials. Every day, despite all the talk and uncertainty. And I guess I haven't decided, but I'm going to rely on the words of an orange-haired philosopher. Let's see what happens. Yeah, let's see what happens. Jeff Carlin is here. Master of sound, loather of woodpeckers, lover of Zeus, even though he has cats, executive producer of at WGN Radio, and of course Tom Bevin, co-founder, president of Real Clear Politics, realclearpolitics.com, and many podcasts, and the Tom Bevin Show that sometimes he asks me on, and I just say go check Real Clear Politics, realclearpolitics.com, where you'll see points of view from every angle, from the left and from the right, every day. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, that's the important thing, columnist at the Chicago Tribune and member of its editorial board. And we'll see what happens. And for you, walking on that Chicago way with violence continuing in Chicago and growing with politics befouling the air, with Hunter Biden emails, Hunter Biden racist emails, and Kamala Harris not wanting to go to the Mexican border, and Uncle Joe moving kind of slow at the junction between East and West. Thanks for joining us. And you're here right now on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Castle.
As promised, Tom Bevin, media mogul, my friend, co-founder, publisher of RealClearPolitics.com, Real Clear Investigations, Real Clear Religion, Real Clear Science, and on and on. Welcome to the Chicago Way, Tom Bevin.
Great to be back with you, John.
Well, I think we should start. I just woke up and heard about hashtag racist hunter. Racist hunter emails. I know Jeff is just dumbfounded.
Yeah.
What is going on with this?
Well, it's another example of some, you know, newsworthy information, noteworthy information that was, I believe, contained on the hard drive, right? Is that where they got this? And the Daily Mail has put out a couple of pieces recently.
Right.
That with, you know, they've been looking into this. The rest of the press, certainly the mainstream press, has been absolutely, you know, incurious to the point of almost, you know, having their head in the sand as far as the Hunter Biden laptop goes and whatever's on there. You know, and I mean, look, obviously this is, you know, he's a private citizen. He's not an elected official. And it was a few years ago, whatever. But he's still, for the Democrats who have made everything or make everything about race and cancel culture and whatnot, this is not a good look at all. And then there's the obvious, you know, bias that it's at play. If this were Don Jr., you know, instead of Hunter, you know, the press would be going absolutely crazy. The Twitter, you know, social media outrage machine would be like tilting off its rocker, right? And instead, it's just, you know, I'm not sure. I didn't see this story basically anywhere this morning when I got up and started perusing all my normal, you know, New York Times, Washington Post, all the above. Didn't really seem to be much there by way of coverage of this story outside of the Daily Mail piece.
I believe the New York Post covered it, but then they covered they broke the Hunter Biden laptop, Ukraine business, China business story that big tech effectively silenced and most of the media ignored. You know, it's just one of those things that we keep seeing again and again and again, like Russia collusion theory. When that blows up, oh, never mind. Officer Sechnik was brutally murdered by the insurrectionists or whatever they call them. Oh, never mind. He wasn't. The Wuhan lab leak story. Oh, we can't go into that because Trump said so in Pompeo. And then, okay, I guess we'll go into it now that it's safe and Trump is out of office. And on and on. It's just reaching critical mass as far as I'm concerned.
It is. I mean, it definitely, you know, there's been a bias in the media for a long time, but it does seem to have crossed over into a place where, you know, the media is sort of fundamentally broken when they will not cover stories, when they will engage in censorship of stories, when they will, you know, deride, ridicule, dismiss, try and marginalize anyone who has a different opinion. It does seem to be this is beyond sort of your garden variety. Oh, I've got a few, you know, liberal leaning journalists in my newsroom type thing. I mean, there is a fundamental problem. The media has sort of taken on, they've become, as Molly Hemingway says sometimes, I mean, propagandists, right? They are interested in sort of, you know, covering the facts and letting them sort of lead wherever they may. They are interested in pursuing and pushing narratives that fit their, whatever their political or ideological agenda is. And anything that is contrary to that gets, you know, gets the treatment. It gets censored, it gets ridiculed, it gets, you know, ignored. And all those stories you mentioned are examples of that. And they all have happened in just, you know, the last couple of years. And I think it has really reached a point where, and I don't, you know, I'm not sure what the ramifications of this are going to be.
People turn it off. People will just abandon. There won't be a place, a clearinghouse for facts. I mean, if I, you know, I've noticed that you continue at Real Clear Politics to provide balanced commentary from the left and the right. And
yes,
news stories that are balanced from the left and from the right and from the middle. And I don't see that happening if the, what we call the legacy or corporate media. I don't see it. Although I do see occasionally Tom Bevin being cheap shotted by certain people and who proved to themselves to be idiots. And I noticed a tweet the other day from you, and I kind of cribbed it and then retweeted it on my own. I guess I'm a plagiarist in that respect. But I'm confessing to it now. And that was the exchange between, and I hope Jeff can find it, the exchange, Jeff and Tom, between Brian Stelter and Jen Psaki.
Yeah.
It was astounding. It was like, what could we do to be better journalists, Jen? This is to the mouthpiece of the president asking, what can we do to be better?
I mean, for those who follow me on Twitter, you know, I'm obviously no fan of CNN. I think they are among, you know, the worst. Yes. And in part because they they try to pretend and, you know, and have this facade of being, you know, the centrist truth tellers and all that, you know, when they're very much in all respects like MSNBC, and MSNBC is fine. I mean, they're open with their bias. CNN, you know, Jake Tapper, who got caught basically lying about bookings to a show. And
yeah, what was that about? What was
this? He said he won't book anybody who, you know, he calls them like the election liars, right? The people, anybody who suggests that there was any sort of, you know, anything untoward about the 2020 election is somehow, you know, a big lie fanatic, and he won't have them on his show, yada, yada, yada.
So he demands, like many of them, demands a loyalty oath to whatever point of view they're selling.
To his set of the facts, right. Yeah. He believes that his narrative is the truth. Anything other than that is a lie. In fact, it's the big lie, and he won't give any airtime to that or participate in it. And that's fine. That's his right. But it's certainly, you know, he's not acting as an objective news person in that regard. He is absolutely, you know, taking a side. And then Brian Stelter, you know, again, who calls himself a media critic, but really what he does is sit there all day and watch Fox News and take shots at Fox News, because that's, you know, that seems to be the only thing that CNN, they can't increase their ratings. They have to sort of drag down, try and, you know, besmirch what Fox is doing. And that's, again, that's fine. But let's all be honest about what he's doing and not pretend that he's doing something else like media criticism.
What about that? And he gets this, didn't Tapper write this book? Did he write a book where he
talked Brian Stelter about- wrote the book Hoax, and it was all about Fox News and them being, you know, poisoning the minds of millions of Americans. And
right.
I mean, that is the prevailing worldview at CNN. And it comes straight from Jeff Zucker at the top. And, you know, it I mean, they've got so many issues with Chris Cuomo and all that stuff. But to your point, Brian Stelter had this interview with spokesperson for the leader of the free world.
Here's the audio.
For other PR professionals who watch what you do, for journalists who watch what you do, what's your advice for them about trying to stay close to the truth in this world of lies?
Well, I think what I try to do is stay grounded to the facts. And I mean by that, the details and what we can help provide publicly to clarify context, to make it more understandable to the press, to the public. And sometimes it's not more complicated than that. Really talking to policy experts and gaining an understanding myself so that I can communicate in a way that my mother, my mother-in-law, you know, other people who are not involved in politics like you and I are every day would understand what we're trying to do. I keep grounded in that, but try to go deep in the details so I can kind of pull out and make it accessible.
Well, that's the common thread. I know this is often adversarial, but it also has to be functional. Is the relationship between the White House and the press corps now at least functional in ways it wasn't in the Trump years?
You mean functional, like where you get on your knees and kiss the president's behind and talk to him about how what a moral creature he is?
Yeah.
Is that like Amici Elsinore, like that?
It was so embarrassing for Stelter, I think, and for CNN to have their media critic just absolutely, you know, as Stephen L. Miller wrote in The Spectator yesterday, which we carried on the site, you know, fangirling. I mean, he was just, you know, throwing these softballs and I mean, it was so embarrassing. And he tried to defend himself. He thinks there's nothing wrong with that. He thinks he's actually providing some sort of, you know, service. Meanwhile, again, you know, would any CNN reporter, would he treat, you know, a Republican press secretary, White House press secretary that way? Would he treat Sarah Sanders that way? Of course not. And it's just so transparent these days that, you know, the jig is up. I mean, everybody gets it now. They can see it. I mean, they've been seeing it for a long time. And this was just another example of how the media and Brian Stelter and CNN in particular have just absolutely, you know, rolled over and are not making any bones about the fact that they spent 4 years, you know, making just demonizing everything that Trump did And now, you know, suddenly Joe Biden is, you know, beyond fault. And the White House press secretary is going to tell us how we can do our jobs better, how we can stay closer to the truth, how we can be, you know, function better. I mean, it's just it's absurd. And everybody knows it.
Tom, this and Jeff, I don't think this just happened under Trump. I think it happened as I was watching Gloria Vanderbilt's descendant interview Barack Obama. And Barack, president from Chicago, and we're building the Temple of Fealty and Love for him with all its many rooms. President Obama, former President Obama, talked about the critical race theory and all these conservatives who dare hate it and don't understand that what they're doing and how they're how, I don't know, white people are being replaced or whatever he put on it, which, you know, dismisses the concerns of many minorities as well who don't like what they're seeing in their schools. And the Gloria Vanderbilt descendant was nodding and as if he were talking to, it was a cult member talking to Fethullah Gulen. He was just nodding away,
yes. Loving it.
And before, when Obama was president, I remember Real Clear Politics running John Cass columns about all the hopium,
right?
The press was smoking as they treated Obama as if he were a forest fawn, Mr. Tumnus from the Chronicles of Narnia, and just wanted to have cakes with him and take a nap in his lap and so forth. It was just so it started long before President Trump came in office. It started on the other side with the left and the media when Obama came in.
I mean, yes. And I do think that there's been a long, you know, that this has been going on for some time and that it's become more and more clear as the time went on. Remember, you know, when George W. Bush was president, and you remember the James Byrd ad where they, you know, basically said he accused him of being part of, you know, dragging this African-American man behind a truck. I mean, that was like that was a campaign ad against George W. Bush, right?
Right.
In 2000 or 2004, he was treated as this, you know, ridiculous warmonger.
Hitler.
And he was yes, he was Hitler. And then Obama comes along and certainly, you know, got a completely different press coverage, right? From the very beginning. And in part, look, there was real optimism about Obama in the beginning. And he did win over a lot of independents and Republicans. But the press simply, you know, I mean, they just absolutely played along and continue to play along with the idea that, you know, his was the, you know, scandal free, not a hint of scandal in the Obama years. Right. And Obama used to stand up there and be like, what about the Irish thing? I just read about that in the paper. I just learned about that yesterday from you guys. You know,
what about
pulling, Fast and Furious? I just learned about that. I didn't know anything about that.
Or James Rosen's telephone records.
And yeah. The AP, like on and on and on.
Associated Press's telephone records. Yeah, of course.
And so part of that, though, was the contrast with that coverage to literally from the day Trump took office or won the election, even the press's sort of antagonistic, you know, approach to Donald Trump, when they basically, and many of them were open about it, joining the quote unquote resistance. And that's how they saw their place in the world, right? Was to really, you know, get after Donald Trump at any possible time they could. And so that contrast, I think, and then obviously, you know, flipping back to where we were with Biden. I mean, that contrast has done enormous damage to public trust of the press and media because of the way that they are so transparently, you know, treat different presidents differently based on who they are and which party they are.
Well, what do we know and how do we know it is the question for every American, everybody in the world, as the press and the media goes through this anguish and, you know, what is it, change skin changing, because there's been a pandemic where 3.5 million, maybe more, have died, 500,000 to 600,000 in the United States. The president now is going to Russia to meet one-on-one with Vladimir Putin. I mean, where do we stand? How can Americans make decisions about what's going on if they don't know how they know things? And with big tech censoring and selectively promoting certain points of view, I don't know is there a solid place to stand? As Archimedes said, have a solid place to stand and I shall move the earth.
Yeah.
There is no solid place to stand.
You know, people often ask me when I go around and give speeches, like, what should I be reading? You know, which writers, which publications? And
besides me, of course,
besides John Cass, which is what I always say. No, but I tell people, I'm like, listen, the days of reading one, you know, having one source for, you know, whether it's a, you know, local news broadcast or it's the New York Times or whatever, those days are over, like long gone. If you want to know what's going on, you have to read, you know, 15 sources or 20 sources. You have to like cross check your information to get the full picture, because you're not going to get it necessarily from the New York Times, and you're going to get a different shade if you go to the Washington Times, right? You're going to get, so more than ever, it's incumbent upon the news consumer. If you want to be well educated and versed on what's going on in the world, you actually have to put in time and effort. And unfortunately, there aren't a lot of people that have the time or the inclination to do that. And as a result, I think we just sort of stew in our bubbles, and you know, the New York Times readers are reading about how great Joe Biden is and all these great things, and you know, folks who are reading only conservative media, you know, think Joe Biden's the worst, you know, worst president ever. And you know, obviously the truth is somewhere in between. But you, in order to actually educate yourself about that, you got to put in the work, and that's kind of where we are. I think that's why we are valuable to people. Yes. But again, we're only valuable to the people who are open to reading other. I mean, there are plenty of people who would look at a story and see it's from the Washington Times or the Washington Examiner, just be like, you know, I'm not reading that. That's right wing, you know, garbage, right. And vice versa. And so, it makes it tough.
And it's even tougher when you could talk about, like, before, something like a CNN, where people don't even realize that they're not even trying to be middle of the road or unbiased, and they don't even address it or just pretend like it's not happening. And you get people who, and I've got relatives who, you know, all they do is watch CNN, and I tell them they're better off watching MSNBC, because at least they know what they're getting, and they don't realize what's being fed to them. And you were talking about Stelter earlier, and there was a weird exchange last night with Stelter and Tapper, where Stelter said he had to rewrite his book, or was thinking about rewriting his book about the Trump presidency and all that. But he said that a few people from Fox who work at Fox News had said, taught him that they're distraught over the way the network's handling things and covering the January 6th stuff. And like, they're just really nervous about themselves and don't believe what they're doing and all this. I guarantee you can't find a single person at CNN who would go the other way. And he was making it this big deal, but he said it was all just a few people there. But it strikes it being, at least the very least, there's some sort of balance within there. CNN never even comes close to it. And I have relatives that they think CNN is the CNN of the 90s, where it was breaking news and it was, you know, they were right in the field covering everything. They had people there who were just telling us what was happening, not explaining what was happening. And they don't see it. They don't see that the bias is there, and CNN doesn't do anything to fix that. And I don't know where we go for, other than in the Real Clear Politics, for a balanced view of things. I just assume everyone's lying to me.
Well, again, everyone's, you know, some people are lying and some people are actually, you know, distorting facts purposefully, right? Others are just, again, producing their narrative, what they think of, you know, we're watching two movies, living in two realities. I mean, as far as Brian Stelter goes, I mean, I would even question the idea that there's anyone at Fox that's talking to him. I mean,
right. Yeah, even more so. Just, yeah.
I think he's
right. The idea that like people from Fox are calling him up to complain. I mean, really?
Maybe those who want a job.
Show me the receipts, dude, because I don't believe it.
Well, just to
that's Tom's, the coolest thing anyone said on this podcast there, by the way, Tom. The most interesting, rather.
To Tom's point, I'm just picking a random day from Real Clear Politics, and I'm not auditioning for Real Clear Politics. When they pick up my column, I'm overjoyed because more and more people get to see it. But you know, I have a plan to open a hopium stand outside the Obama Temple of Fealty and Love, and so everyone can smoke hopium as they walk in.
And by the way, can I just, and I've said this before, so this is just my personal thing, like I'm against presidential libraries of all kinds, from all, you know, I think these things are just an outrageous misuse of funds, whether they're private funds or public funds, and the sort of deification of our presidents. They're just people. They're just elected people who work for us. And I, you know, I'm open to like an exhibit at the Smithsonian that has, you know, some papers from each of them, you know,
right,
their most famous things. But the idea that we would have these massive spaces with all of the new, you know, the
propaganda,
all of the writings of Bill Clinton and George Bush. Right. I mean, give me a break, right?
You're better off going to the Hall of Presidents in Disney.
Don't you guys think that animatronic, like we could have in the Obama Library, animatronic Tony Resco, animatronic, you know, like the Bagman, animatronic Emil Jones and all the people who made him and Dailies and all that?
I mean,
but look at,
that'll be in the basement, but you got to know a guy.
You got to know a guy to get in.
Got to know a guy.
All right, look at this. Look at the. I know we don't have a lot of time, but I just want to Tom's point about not equity, but equality of opportunity that Real Clear offers. Look at these headlines from a day last week. Biden heads overseas as his prospects darken at home. Stephen Collinson, CNN. First one.
Yes.
Kamala's bad trip. Amber Athey, Spectator World. GOP turning America into democracy with asterisks. Thomas Edsel, New York Times. Stacey lies, black business dies. Bruce Level, Real Clear Politics. Senators Manchin and Sinema are a threat to black Americans. David Love, The Griot. And on and on. So you're going from left first to write, and you're leading with the CNN on one day last week. You're leading with CNN, even though you've personally criticized them. How do you process that, Tom? And how do you not let your personal biases get in the way of these selections?
Well, I mean, we've talked about this before. I mean, you know, you sort of putting together the front page of Real Clear Politics, I always tell people it's like making a stew, but you don't really know what the ingredients are going to be until you get up and you start reading through things, right? And it starts with sort of a couple of the basic premises. I mean, yesterday or the day before that, we had led with a conservative piece at the top of the site. So I wanted a piece that was not conservative to lead the site. Stephen Collinson is like he's a quote unquote analyst, but he basically writes opinion pieces for CNN. And while this title, I think, is, you know, not as favorable to Biden, it's not just a full on Biden love fest, because he talks about the fact he's experiencing some issues domestically. It's not an anti-Biden piece in any way. And so, and that to me is the big story. Biden setting overseas on his first trip. It's a big deal. It's always a big deal for presidents when they go on their first overseas trip. You mentioned earlier, I mean, he's going to meet with Putin. So he's going to do the G7. So that's why it's leading the site, because it's the most important story, right, in my mind.
What do you expect will happen there? Because we have to get to that and to Harris. What do you expect will happen, given in the context of there was a young, untested, highly romanticized president who went to meet with Nikita Khrushchev years and years ago? His name was John Kennedy. All the wise guys in Chicago know his name. And from that meeting came the threats of the nuclear war, the missiles of October. because Putin looked, I mean, Khrushchev assessed him and thought, "This, I can take this puppy." I think he even said that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that. I don't know what's going to come out of the meetings, if anything. I mean, we do know that Joe Biden has already basically given in to Putin on the Nord Stream pipeline, right? Which again, if Trump had done that prior to his meeting with Putin or prior to a meeting with Putin, I mean, it would have been, again, five alarm fire. He's a Russian agent. I mean, it sort of shows the absurdity of the coverage of Donald Trump and his conduct in terms of foreign policy. So look, I hope that Biden represents the country well abroad and right.
He is your president, is he not?
Absolutely. And I think we still should be, you know, sort of politics stops at the water's edge. We wish him well and hope that he, you know, does a good job over there. I do think he is being tested, though, and he's being tested more so from, you know, the sort of the non-state actors or the, you know, state related or affiliated folks with all the cyber attacks. I mean, I think that's Bingo. Probably been the biggest story thus far in terms of people around the world testing this administration to see how they react to what in some cases looks awfully close to, you know, declaration of war, an act of war. So, you know, hopefully he'll talk to Putin about that until that to me is a very scary thing. And it's a very real thing. We're seeing more and more of it. So that to me is a, one of the prime right. subjects to talk about.
Jeff? I said, Mitt Romney was right.
Listen.
Yet another example of you know, Republican says something and it's like, oh, chuckle, like what a dope.
What a dope,
you know, what a tool. I know so much better than that.
Speaking of which, I do, and as we close, I am, you know, I would in any other circumstance, I would already pitch my Wednesday column for you for Real Clear, but it comes out Wednesday after your site is already selected. But what I'm really worried about is, and I'm on my knees praying to the Lord that Joe Biden, even though I did not want him to be president, can stay strong until 2024, because the alternative is unthinkable nightmare called Kamala Harris. Please God, keep Joe Biden strong until 2024. And what we saw, well, I had my say. I'd like to know your say, Jeff, and your say, Tom. What about Kamala and that?
Jeff, interview? You first.
I, for those who maybe didn't see it, I'm sure you saw it by the time you're hearing this. But Kamala Harris with hometown boy Lester Holt explaining that she'd never been to Europe before. Is that what you're referring to, John? Because that blew my mind.
Yes.
Well,
she's been to the border. We've been to the border. We haven't been to the border. We've been. And then she went on to do, she tried to clean all this up and at a news conference later, it was like one, it's right out of Veep. I was hoping that Julia Louis-Dreyfus would be the vice president because I can handle, liberal neurosis and ambition, but I can't handle incompetence when it comes to the president. And I'm flabbergasted. Tom Bevin, do you have anything to say about what you saw?
You know, I don't know why she hasn't been to the border yet. I mean, it's just sort of like a no-brainer. I mean, in terms of like covering her, you know, giving herself some cover from these attacks, because they're going to continue the longer we have a situation down there, the longer she doesn't go. I think Biden has done her no favors, you know, basically saying like, oh, you know, Kamala's going to take care of this and Kamala's going to take care of voting rights. And I mean, he's just kind of like shoveling the, you know, manure her way and she's stuck with it. That's number one. Number two, though, she's just not very good at this. I mean, she's just not. And she proved that during the campaign. I mean, she was out of this race before Iowa even happened. I mean, she had her moment in that first debate where she attacked Biden and a lot of folks.
Being a racist.
Correct. But it was her, you know, you go back and look at the polls. I mean, she really did get some lift out of that and she got a lot of attention out of it. And the more attention she got, the quicker her ratings slid back down to nothingness. I mean, honestly, Democratic voters, primary voters, they gave her a good look and they did not like what they saw. I mean, they moved on to other candidates and she was effectively, you know, out of the race within a few months. And so because she's not a very good politician. And for as much as there has been this kind of group that's tried to build the cult of Kamala, you know, around her, when
with,
she is
with Kim on, Fox, right?
When she is put on the spot, she does not perform well. She has these awkward moments, the laugh. I mean, the sort of, you know, disjointed, as Jeff was mentioning. I mean, she just, you know, non sequiturs and things like that. And you know, a competent politician would be able to handle this stuff. I mean, they'd still take their shots, right? But I mean, you got to know how to dodge some punches and not keep taking it on the chin. And she just seems to be not equipped to do that. There was a story, you know, in the Atlantic that she's been secretly taking media training, right, to try and get better at this, but it doesn't seem to have, worked, at least thus far. So she's in a tough spot. You know, these are not easy problems that she's dealing with, but she's certainly making it harder on herself by virtue of just not being very good at the politics and the optics of it.
Well, the vice presidency, as one vice president once said, is a nothing but a warm bucket of something. And the odd thing, as you point out, is that Joe Biden keeps filling it, giving it to her, giving her all the negative stuff to do. He's not giving her anything to build a campaign.
She needs to, right, cut a couple of ribbons or something.
Right.
Right.
You know, spend about $6 million on infrastructure, cut that deal, make that final vote, you know? I don't know.
Right.
So $6 trillion. So, Tom Bevin, what's next for Tom Bevin in the future?
I'm going to continue to. We just actually had our first post COVID in person Real Clear Politics meeting. So we have a new office space in Washington D.C. So I was able to fly out there and everybody met and we sat down and had a good talk and everybody got caught up in person, which was very, very nice. It sort of, you know, plotted the path forward over the next, you know, couple of years, right? We're going to start and continue to, you know, shift the focus back to the election piece of it, because we've got, you know, these governor's races that are coming up in November, right? New Jersey and Virginia, which are always interesting. And it looks like the Virginia race is actually could be competitive. And start to focus on 2022. There's obviously the House and Senate are both going to be in play and they're going to be a good number of districts. So we're getting geared up to go back into election mode, for the midterms, in, you know, at the end of this summer. And so we're working on some tools and bells and whistles, to roll out around, after Labor Day, which we think are going to be, you know, a big upgrade for a lot of our readers. So that's what we're excited about.
Exactly. And thank you for that, because there's one thing missing from Real Clear Politics. You have all these different.
What's that?
You don't have Real Clear fly fishing.
Well, Carl Cannon would be the one to start that. He could manage that because he's an expert fly fisher. So,
oh, good.
I didn't know you were a big fisherman, John.
Oh, yeah. I even have my own nickname that borders on a pornish porn star nickname.
What is it?
I'm not going to say it on the air because I do have trolls here and they're looking for anything.
Okay.
Write about it. So, but
okay. Well, you and Carl are going to have to get together on that, because there's two things that he really likes. One is betting on the ponies and two is fishing. And I probably not in that order, actually.
Well, I'm Greek, so I don't gamble, obviously. And but fishing is a decent escape from all this nonsense that we have to deal with.
And don't we need it?
Paul, Tom Bevin, thanks for being here on God, I should remember my own podcast name. Tom, let's start it again. Tom Bevin. Tom Bevin, thanks for being here on the Chicago Way podcast, buddy.
You got it, John. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
So for Tom Bevin of Real Clear Politics and Jeff Carlin, co-host of the Chicago Way, master of sound, loather of intrusive woodpeckers, lover of cats, and executive producer of WGN Radio. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, columnist at the Chicago Tribune, member of its editorial board, with everything going on, let's see what happens. Thanks for visiting on another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.